Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, 6th canto, chapter 14, entitled King Chitraketu's Lamentation, text number 6. Tejapit vitras tu sa katam papa sarva lokapatapana itam dridha mati krishna asit sangrama olbhane vitrastu sakata papa sarvaloko patapana itam dridhamati krishna asit sangrama olbhane vitrastu sakata papa sarvaloko patapana itam dridhamati krishna asit sangrama olbane vitrastu sakatam papa savaloko patapana itam dridhamati krishna asit sangrama olbane. Savaloko patapana itam dridhamati krishna asit sangama obhane vitrastu sakatam papa savaloko patapana itam dridhamati krishna asit sangrama obhane vitrastu sakatam papam savaloko patapanam itam dridhamati krishna asit sangrama obhane vitrastu sakatam papam itam dridhamati krishna asit sangrama obhane vitrastu sakatam papam savaloko patapana itam dridhamati krishna asit sangrama obhane. Ladies, please. Vitrastu sakatam papam savaloko patapana itam dridhamati krishna asit sangrama obhane. Please repeat. Vitra, vitrasura, tu, but, saha, he, katam, how, papa, although sinful, getting the body of a demon, sarvaloka, of all the three worlds, upatapanaha, the cause of suffering, itam, such, dridhamati, firmly fixed intelligence. Krishne, in Krishna. Asit, there was. Sangrama ulbane, in the great blazing fire of battle. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace. Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Ritrasura was situated in the blazing fire of battle and was an infamous, sinful demon, always engaged in giving troubles and anxieties to others. How could such a demon become so greatly Krishna conscious? How could such a demon become so greatly Krishna conscious? Purport. It has been described that a Narayana Parayana, a pure devotee, is rarely found even among millions and millions of persons. Therefore, Parikshit Maharaj was surprised that Ritrasura, whose purpose was to give trouble and anxiety to others, was one of these devotees, even on a battlefield. What was the reason for Ritrasura's advancement? So that's it. Om Agyana Timarandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasari Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare. So this is Maharaj Parikshit asking Shukadeva Goswami, this verse here. I mean, so many of these verses were leading up to this point, that it's quite incredible that Ritrasura, who is very, very demoniac, is in fact also a pure devotee. And the implicit sort of statement being made here is that a devotee can't necessarily be judged by external material circumstances. It's actually very dangerous to do so. Just like Krishna is transcendental to all sorts of material qualities, although appearing to act in certain ways in his lila. Similarly, the devotees, pure devotees who are liberated, you can't necessarily make some ultimatum about their character simply based on external qualities. Although there are obvious symptoms of a devotee, it's described in so many places in the scriptures about what sort of qualities a devotee should have. There's 26 in particular that I think Lord Chaitanya described to Rupa Goswami or Sanatana Goswami. But all of those qualities, the most essential one, Krishnaika Sharanam, that a devotee has as his only shelter, Krishna. Krishna Eka Sharanam, his one shelter is Krishna. And that's what kind of galvanizes all of the other itinerant qualities and activities of the devotee, if he's fully surrendered to the Lord. Otherwise, if we're just judging by good qualities, and by good qualities we usually mean whichever ones are good for my sense gratification, then even demons have good qualities. They can display the characteristics of humility and tolerance and patience and even religiousness, but all for the purpose of sense gratification. But it's still demoniac. Like there's this famous story about after the demigods and the demons, they were churning this ocean of milk using the Mandar Mountain, and Kurma Dev was there, and it's really amazing lila. But afterwards, there's all this nectar produced. And this nectar was going to grant whomever drinks it all sorts of auspicious powers and extended lifespan and dominance over the other. And so all the demigods and the demons, they both wanted to get it, obviously. And just to just to sort out the situation, the Lord took a very special incarnation named Mohini Murti, the most beautiful and attractive form. So attractive that even Lord Shiva, who is personally married to the illusory energy herself, Durga Devi, and is unattracted by her, was very much attracted to Mohini Murti. And so they had this particular situation where all the demigods and the demons were lined up on each side, and Mohini Murti was going to pass out the nectar to him, to whoever deserved it. And the demons were being very humble at that time. They were being very humble and very patient. And they were sitting there, the demigods are here and the demons are there, and they're saying, "Oh, dear Mohini Murti, you're so wonderful. Please give us the nectar first. Please kindly give it to us." Being very gentle, displaying all sorts of wonderful qualities. And they waited very patiently as she was dishing it out to all the demigods first. So they're displaying good qualities, but for the purpose of sense gratification. And so that's why it's important to recognize that the essential quality of a devotee is their devotional service. It's just that. Not so much, we can't become so
how do you say it?
Judgmental if there is occasional speed bumps, or some politically correct way of saying occasional difficulties. Krishna himself says, "Apichetsu duracharo bhajante mam ananyabak sadur eva samantavya samyag vyavasito hisaha." Very important verse. Prabhupada gave a very long and important purport on this verse, saying that for a devotee who is bhajante mam ananyabak, whose only fixation is that they're trying to do devotional service as best as possible, then if there's some occasional difficulty, some occasional fall down, still that person should be considered very saintly, a sadhu. Sadhu eva means absolutely, certainly, still a sadhu. So it's kind of hard for us to appreciate that sometimes, because due to the influence of familiarity, we might look at the Prabhus whom we associate with and begin to judge materially, begin to make all sorts of justifications for their behavior based on certain activities, and especially based on their previous condition. That's something that's very common. We like to judge devotees as being Indian Vaishnavas and American Vaishnavas, right? Srila Prabhupada would often bring this up, that these American Vaishnavas are just as good as Indian Vaishnavas. American Brahmanas and Sannyasis can perform that duty just as well. So to be able to perceive the devotional quality of a person, to be able to appreciate that that's the essential nature of a devotee, it actually takes Krishna's mercy. It's not a material skill. And this is a really important point that I've heard extensively from my spiritual master, His Holiness Devamrita Swami. Described extensively that just like it's not a material skill to perceive the Lord, he says, Naham prakasha sarvasya, that not anybody can see me. It's not just that you come into the temple and you look at the deities, that therefore you're perceiving the Lord, although that's very wonderful. And it's a very auspicious environment, because only by the mercy of that Lord can you perceive him. Only by devotional service can you actually see him. That's what it means to see Krishna, is to see opportunity for devotional service. And similarly, what it means to really see a devotee is to see their devotional service. It's not just that I've got eyes or that I'm, brushed up next to them. It actually takes the Lord's mercy to be able to perceive that and appreciate it. If we're depending upon our material skills, thinking that I had so much charisma before and I can tell a lot of jokes and, people pretty much like me and therefore I got this sadhu sangha thing down, not necessarily going to work out. Associating with Vaishnavas means seva, serving them and appreciating service. That's the real spiritual quality. And so we have to get the mercy of the Lord to be able to do that. Otherwise it can be very dangerous. It can actually be potential to commit offenses at other devotees if we're not really looking at their quality of devotional service and appreciating it. There's this kind of a famous story that unfortunately a lot of Srila Prabhupada's god brothers used to say, perhaps to kind of like justify their own inability to take shelter of Lord Chaitanya's Sankirtan movement, that they describe Srila Prabhupada's success as being due to his very good business skills. I think a lot of people heard this story. They said, Srila Prabhupada is very successful in ISKCON, spread all around the world, because he's a very good businessman. Right? And he is a very, very good businessman. But essentially, he's a pure devotee of the Lord. Therefore, he's a very good businessman. So we can't just justify the sort of things devotees are doing by relating it to some sort of material quality. You have to appreciate devotional service. And that's the Lord's mercy. And spiritual vision, It's not just material. It's spiritual vision. And that's why we need to pray for that opportunity. Please help me to see the devotional service of the Lord, of the devotees. Please help me to appreciate that quality and not just judge them based on, which one's giving me sense gratification and which one's not. That's generally how we make friends in this world, how we consider someone to be our buddy in Krishna consciousness. It's what everyone is agreeing with our mind and senses, right? And we think, this one's my friend. We go around looking for some friend, looking for someone to reveal the mind and confidence to. And we think, well, who's going to agree with me first? He's going to tell me what I want to hear. And you go find that person and you say, oh Prabhu, it's like this and it's like that. You understand, right? I need sense gratification, right? And they say, yes, of course you need sense gratification. You say, oh, you're a real friend. Thanks, Prabhu. I knew you had good qualities. I knew you had it in you. That's not always the best way. We need to pray to the Lord for that opportunity to really associate with devotees, make the most of their association. And similarly, we don't want to make the mistake of thinking that my own qualities are a justification for devotional service. This is something I'm saying more so for my own benefit than for everyone else in the room. But sometimes, you know, when people ask us, hey, how'd you come along to Krishna consciousness? How'd you take it up, you know? And, you know, we say, well, I was very philosophically inclined, and my family was very religious. And generally speaking, I was a pretty pious person. And the devotees are very fortunate to kind of get me to come along and help them out in the kitchen cutting vegetables and things like that. Sometimes we think, yeah, I've got some really nice, really important skills that I've brought along. And for this reason, you know, they're kind of lucky to have me here, in one sense. I mean, I'm wondering what L.A. was doing before I got here. I mean, Hare Krishna. In fact, when I used to come along to the center in New Zealand when I was first getting started, I had this apartment in the city, and we had this Gaur Yoga Center, our preaching center, which is just a few blocks away. And I wasn't very interested at all in what they were doing there. I thought the devotees were a little bit strange. But there were all these like angelic sort of Matajis who were very, very friendly, and they had really nice food all the time. They used to call me to get me engaged in some service. They'd call me up my apartment. I had this nickname, Bodhi, at the time. And they'd call me up and they'd say, oh, Bodhi, nobody can cut carrots like you can. Can you come and help us out on Sunday? I'm like, yeah, you know, I'll be right over, you know. I don't know what you guys are going to do without me. But in all honesty, sometimes we can think that, yeah, you know, I kind of deserve this opportunity for devotional service. I really brought to the community, you know, something unique, something that nobody else has done before, you know, the particular way I play mridanga, or the particular way I speak. So many things. We can become a little bit bewildered by this. Because actually, the cultivation, the initiation in devotional service is always the mercy of another devotee. Always, no matter what auspicious and incredible qualities you have, it's always having received the mercy from another, especially in this age of Kali. And that's the obvious conclusion that's coming up in these further verses, that Vritrasura in his previous life was King Chitraketu, who received the mercy of Angira Rishi, Narada Muni as well, Durga Devi herself, Lord Shiva. Really, it's not so much that I was so intelligent, that I was so pious. And it's important for us to understand this, that although there are certain qualities which make it more favorable for the cultivation of devotional service, it can make it a lot easier for some to take it up and for others not to, still that essential prerequisite is having received the mercy of the Lord and the Lord's devotees. And when we can appreciate that, the reason why we should meditate on that, because that's what gives us real enthusiastic and conviction in Lord Chaitanya Sankirtan and the potential of it. That anyone can be affected, that anyone can be transformed. But if we're thinking that it depends on all sorts of material prerequisites, essentially, then it's going to be very hard for us to have faith in the potential to give that mercy to others. We think, oh, this person is just too spaced out. This person is just too out of it, too sinful. This person's crazy. This person's too this or that. You know, we might as well just be concerned about ourselves, rather than worrying about all these crazy people. You know, what's the chance of giving them Krishna consciousness? Do you ever think about that? Sometimes you go out on the street, I'm glad Prem Sankirtan is nodding his head. Sometimes you go out and you think, these people are just nuts. Inside and outside, just crazy people. What is the hope, you know? Why are we even trying? Nobody deserves it. And we can become really bewildered by this. This is Maya's secret trick at getting Sankirtan devotees. To tell you, yes, yes, nobody's listening to you. Nobody can take it. They're not qualified. They're not intelligent enough. They're not patient enough. They can't sit down long enough. So many things. And we think, yes, nobody's going to chant. I should just worry about myself. It's how Maya can really defeat us. But if we've meditated on the fact that my entrance into Krishna consciousness was really entirely based on the mercy of other devotees, then we can have that conviction that I can pass it on as well. that I really should pass that on as well. We'll be very enthusiastic about it, very confident in it. And Sankirtan becomes very successful and blissful. You just have to accept ultimately that Lord Chaitanya especially, he can just give Krishna consciousness to whomever he wants. That's how it works. You just have to accept that. It's entirely in his hands. That's what Sankirtan means. It's not some sort of material manipulation on our part or some sort of innovation or incredible thing that we're doing when we go out, like when we had Harinam last night. It's not like some incredible thing that we're doing ourselves. Lord Chaitanya's mercy is such that he can just give it to whomever he pleases. And you have to accept that. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami pointed this out in some incredible verses. He said, Svatantra Ishvara Prema Niguda Bandhara Bilaila Yaritari Nakaila Vichara, about Lord Chaitanya. He said, Lord Chaitanya is Svatantra Ishvara. He's absolutely, undoubtedly, the completely independent Supreme Person. He's not obligated to act in one way or another. He's not someone whom you can say to, oh my Lord, these people are too sinful, you cannot give them Krishna consciousness. He's Svatantra Ishvara. And he's got this Prema Niguda Bhandara. He has this jewel, this very, very valuable gem. It's Krishna Prema. He possesses it. It's his. It's his own thing. It's not mine to pass out. He's got it. And Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami goes on to say that as for whom he wants to share that with, Bilayile Yare Tare. I think everyone knows from that other Bengali verse, Yare Tare, we know Yare Deka, Tare Kaha, Krishna Upadesh, Amara Agaya Guru Hanakar Tare Edesh. Whomever you meet, wherever you go, give them Krishna consciousness. So Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami says, Bilayire Yare Tare. Nakaila Vichara. He can give it to whomever he pleases, whenever and wherever he wants. Nakaila Vichara, without any Vichara. Without any sense of discrimination. Generally speaking, when you say to someone, man, haven't you got any sense? Haven't you got any sense about you? It's kind of like an insult, you know? Have you got any common sense? Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami is saying this about Lord Chaitanya, not Kaila Vichara. That same word Vichara was used by the Goswami in that other verse, I can't remember, where he's saying, it means discrimination or intelligent discrimination. He says, you just apply your intelligent discrimination to the mercy of Lord Chaitanya. Try to understand it in that way. I can't remember the whole verse, but I know he uses the same word, vichara. Because we're not all supposed to be mindless drones in Krishna consciousness. We're supposed to think very deeply about the Lord's mercy. And that's called vichara. But of that Lord whom we're supposed to meditate upon in this way, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami says, na kaila vichara. He doesn't have such discrimination. Whomever he wants to give it to, Krishna Prema Niguda Bandhara. It's like this jewel. He can just pass it out. So you have to be established in that conviction. And then we'll be very enthusiastic about Sankirtan. But to give us a little bit more insight into exactly how Lord Chaitanya works, because that might be a little bit vague to us. Okay, he just gives it out whenever and wherever. So it's like, why do we do anything then? How do I get it? I mean, we might as well just sit around and just let the Lord do everything. Like Prabhupada once said, Arjuna wasn't thinking to himself, I'll just sit on the back of the chariot and smoke ganja and let Krishna do all the work. Sometimes you might think that, well, if it's all within the Lord's hands, then I'll just sit back and smoke ganja. Then Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami goes on to give us some really special insight into who is more fortunate to get that special mercy of the Lord. Again, it's not a material quality. He says, Kripa Sura Sarid Yasya Vishvamaplavayantapi Nicha Gaiva Sarabhati Tam Chaitanya Prabhum Bhaje. He says that Lord Chaitanya's mercy is just like a river which is flooding the entire universe. Vishvamaplavayantapi. Just like sometimes we see a river comes and floods, the Ganges floods into Mayapur. It's a very beautiful sight, some told. I've never seen it myself. And it's kind of an inescapable reality when there's flooding going on. You can't deny it. So Lord Chaitanya's mercy, it floods the entire universe. It's like a river which is flowing from the topmost portion of the universe down to the bottom. And just like a river always flows downwards. Nichagaiva sada bhati. Nichaga. Lord Chaitanya's special mercy goes to those who are most fallen. Just like water naturally goes downwards. If you want to be in that position to receive the full brunt of Mahaprabhu's Sankirtan, prema. You have to consider yourself to be very, very low. Nichagaiva sarapati. Tam chaitanya prabhum bhaje. I offer my obeisances unto that Lord. It should make us very enthusiastic about the potential of Sankirtan. It's not just that I've come up with something really great. I've just brought to the movement some essential skills and qualities. No, Sankirtan means, do we realize we have nothing else? Do we realize that nothing else is going for us? Or how many of us are thinking, if this doesn't work out, I've got so many other options out there, I've got so much potential, right? I was probably going to do something really big, but I sacrificed all that for you guys. You know what I mean? I was probably going to be huge. I was told my mother yesterday, I asked her to buy me an accordion for the Harinam Sankirtan. She said, what do you need that for? She's not very favorable to Krishna consciousness. She said, what do you need that for? I said, mother, I'm going to make it big. I'm going to leave Krishna consciousness. She said, okay, I'll buy you one then. So I'm going to make it really big, and then I'll leave. She said, okay, I'll chip in. But sometimes we're actually thinking that, Maybe I could have been a really big accordion player, something like that. I don't know. But if that's our mood, then it's very, very hard to take that mercy of the Lord, to consider ourselves nichaga, to be in a very low position, and to receive that full brunt of the Lord's mercy. How does Queen Kunti pray? Janmaishvarya Shuta Sri Bir Edamana Mada Puman. That if we're thinking, I came from a pretty good family. I was born in America. I mean, my God. Janmaishruta, I was very intelligent. I'm quite attractive, actually. And, I've got all sorts of wealth. If it's not monetary these days, of course, I've got wealth of all sorts of other things. I've got assets, People really appreciate those sort of things. But Queen Kunti says that these things, edamana mada puman, it's kind of like an intoxication. It's like being drunk. If we're thinking I've got all these good qualities, everyone knows when you're drunk, you say all sorts of incredible things. I won't go into too many stories. I've told enough jokes today. But generally, we say all sorts of incredible things under the influence of intoxication. But one thing we can't say, naivarhatya vidatum bai. One thing we can't do under the influence of that intoxication is call out to the Lord with deep feeling. That's one thing we can't say. And so it's very important for us to meditate upon this. What is the real essential quality of, being a devotee? What does that mean? I'm just a card-carrying Hare Krishna, dhoti-wearing, sikha, prasadam-taking, mridanga-playing, Hare Krishna-chanting devotee. What is the essential quality of it? That I've received the Lord's mercy. That I don't have much else. If we really accepted that and understood it, then we'll have so much enthusiasm in the potential of Lord Chaitanya Sankirtan. Then we'll really appreciate that it's a spiritual quality. It's a spiritual skill, Sankirtan. It's a skill, it's the Lord's mercy acting through you. It's not a material skill to preach Krishna consciousness. Sometimes we make that justification. I can't do it. I'm not an outgoing person. I can't distribute books. I can't tell someone about Krishna. I'm shy. I'm scared. Whatever. But it's not a material skill. It's the influence of the Lord's mercy. It's like a river. It's inundating the entire universe. You just got to put yourself in the position to be that floodgate. Just like it's a spiritual skill to perceive Krishna, it's his mercy to do so, and it's a spiritual skill to perceive the devotional quality of the devotees. It's a spiritual skill to perceive the potential devotional service of others and to inspire them to take it up. That's really seeing Krishna. It's to see the opportunity for devotional service and then to give that opportunity to someone else. That's the Lord's mercy. It's nothing else. So that's Sankirtan. Hopefully we can meditate upon that, as Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami has advised us to do, and that way be really enthusiastic about preaching Krishna consciousness, distributing it to others. I think I'd like to finish on that point, ask if anybody has any questions or comments or feedback or praise. multiplications, additions, subtractions. Prema Sankirtan Prabhu Ki Jai.
Probably we all know special older devotee. What does it mean? You know, I don't speak about myself. What does it mean to perceive and develop this spiritual vision of and appreciate other devotees? But can you still say something about that? Because it's easy to judge, you know, others, and from a their point of view, it's happened to me for sure, you know, to judge older devotee, younger devotee, what to speak about karmis, you know. So to get this mercy from Krishna, can you say a little bit about that? How to get this mercy, how to really develop this vision of perceive only good qualities.
To perceive only the good spiritual, qualities.
You know, see the spiritual qualities, spiritual service, what the devotee are performing.
Yeah, if I understand the question, you said, how do we get this skill to perceive only the good qualities of the devotees? But the point I was trying to make, I think, is that it's only the Lord's mercy. You actually have to pray for that ability. It doesn't depend on your material skills. I think Ajitabhu would like to add to that. It doesn't just depend on our material abilities or our relationship skills before. We have to ask the Lord, please help me to appreciate the devotees. Please help me to swim, splash, and drown in the nectarian ocean of Vaishnava Sangha. You've got to ask for that, just like you ask for service. Please help me ask for spiritual vision in the association of the devotees. I'm sure Archita Prabhu can say a lot more about that.
Hare Krishna. Thank you for a very nice class. Very inspiring. This point comes up so many times. There's a difference between judging and condemning. Judging is natural. It's part of vichar. It's part of being intelligent. You discriminate between what you should do, what you should not do, what other people should do and not do. That's part of discrimination. There's a difference between judging and condemning. You don't have the right to condemn anybody. If we have that condemnatory approach, then we won't go out and preach. So we don't condemn them. We know that due to ignorance, people are acting in ways that they should not. That's judging. We know. If you don't know what somebody should do or what they should not do, how can you tell them what to do? So you have to see what should be done and what should not be done. But you don't condemn them. Because you know, underneath it all, every single soul is a pure devotee of the Lord. Every single soul. That is the beginning of Krishna consciousness. We accept that the soul is by nature pure. And just due to the covering of material influence, they act in crazy ways. So if we can inject, under the order of Lord Chaitanya, if we can inject some Krishna consciousness into their life, then the craziness starts to abate. That's what makes us preach, because we understand, we accept that every single soul, even the soul in the ant body, is actually a pure devotee of the Lord. But due to being covered by material influence, they're acting crazily. They're acting like animals. Literally, either in the animal body or they're in the human body, they're still acting like animals. So there's a difference between judging and condemning. You have to be able to judge, to see things clearly. But you don't condemn a person because you know they have that opportunity, just like we do, to go forward.
Thank you, Prabhu. Okay, Grantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Janitai go Premanandi Hari Hari Bom.
So this month is your partner for Darshan Guru.